WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. Taking it on the road back to Dundalk. We're going to be at Drug City for my birthday next Friday. Could be a game five. I don't know. I mean, this scheduling and rain and wind and cold and the Texas Rangers, amongst other things going on the baseball side. We're going to talk plenty of baseball around here this week. You're going to be hearing from Doug DeSensei is going to check in this week. Charles Steinberg, Rick Vaughn, a whole bunch of old school Oriole people. We're going to talk some Brooks Robinson this week, as well as the fascination of Grayson Rodriguez and Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman and me wearing my Curio Baltimore shirt here available at Foreign Daughter this week. Luke Jones joins us now. We'll get baseball. And I know football's not going to have a lot of oxygen, even though it's Pittsburgh week this week. I will talk to some people in Pittsburgh before it's all over with, but it's a baseball week around here. And the football game on Sunday has not led us to like, oh, I got to talk about that one all week long. Right. Measuring where the Ravens are at 3-1 and potentially 4-0, had Harbaugh just told Zay Flowers to run around a little bit at the 2-minute warning last week, they would be 4-0 right now. I don't know that it's as heady or as impressive as what the Orioles have looked like here, in especially their pitching last week against bad teams. But there's a point for us. I think we're all acknowledging with Lamar Jackson, even with Humphrey hurt, Stanley hurt, like all, OBJ, all of that, they're the best team in the division right now. It's the first week of October. We look at it that way and say, who's coming to catch us? It's sort of the Ravens division to not screw up at this point. They need to manage the season the way they managed the second half to some degree.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And as you pointed out, long way to go. We all understand that. Anyone listening right now, anyone talking about it, we understand it's early October. So much can change. But a couple things. Like you just said, I mean, they're in first place. They have two division road wins already in their pocket with a chance for a third as Kenny Pickett's going to be out and the Steelers' offense is a total mess. We'll see if Matt Canada is still calling plays by the time they head to Pittsburgh. But you look at this Ravens team and you just alluded to it, despite all the injuries, and they had some more on Sunday, you know, fingers crossed on Morgan Moses, and, you know, they lost a couple more corners, and they were down to Kevon Seymour playing the nickel late in that game. But, you know, this is a team that still has a lot.
7-on-7 against that kid.
Probably. Yeah. Again, I'll go back to what I said in a previous segment. I mean, the Browns at this point, trading Josh Dobbs and handing the reins to that kid in an emergency situation. Look, that's tough for any backup in that position, but organizational malpractice. I mean, you can like love the kid all you want long-term. He was not ready for that moment. But
by the way, did you see Dobbs' video trying to find himself on the Arizona Cardinals? He was trying to get jerseys for his family, and he went up on the team website, and his name wasn't on the Cardinals, and they wouldn't let you put in a custom name. So he bitched at the NFL. Of course, they sent him a jersey and they did all that. He seems like a good kid too, which is even better.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he doesn't have extensive experience either, but
we'll
anyway.
Worry about him. We'll worry about him at Halloween. He'll be playing by the time we get there.
If he is. Right. So I think when you look at the Ravens right now, there's still plenty of room for growth. I don't think anyone looks at Sunday's performance and would say it was a perfect performance by any stretch. I mean, the defense was excellent, as they should be against a team that is without its $230 million quarterback and without their four-time Pro Bowl running back who had been their anchor. They did what I would want a really good defense to do. I already thought they were a really good defense. So the Ravens didn't have anything to prove to me on the defensive side of the football. It was good to see Kyle Van Noy contribute after just coming off the practice squad and just being signed this past week, but he's a pro, you know, at 32 years old. We saw Jason Pierre-Paul do something similar, albeit with an even bigger workload last year when the Ravens signed him, and I think he played 55 snaps. I think it was against the Bills, if I remember correctly. So, you know, I think, you know, when you have these types of situations that the Ravens do right now defensively, where they're banged up. Clearly, they haven't had Marlon Humphrey all year just yet. And they, you know, Marcus Williams returned to practice, thought he had a chance to play, but it's going to be another week for him. No Tyus Bowser, no Adafe Owe, no David Ajabo, who's on IR now. They have played really well, and it's really a credit to Mike McDonald. And we've seen this team, despite the fact that any given week you haven't known who's going to line up at outside linebacker other than Jadeveon Clowney, they've been able to generate a pass rush. And go look at their sack totals and look how many of those have actually come from their edge guys. It shows what kind of scheming Mike McDonald's doing right now. So the point is, and offensively dealing with injuries as well, there's room for this team to grow. And that's an exciting thing. No one looks perfect right now in the AFC, including Kansas City on Sunday night, going up against the Jets, who everyone left for dead, and Zach Wilson can't play and Rodgers is there on the sideline. But I think this first quarter of the season, reminder of a long way to go. Look how bad Buffalo and Josh Allen looked in the opener. For all the talk of the Jets overcoming Rodgers' injury, they lost that game. Buffalo's looked really good since then. Miami, until Sunday, until going to Orchard Park, they had looked invincible. And then we saw the Bills do what they did. So Kansas City, they've been up and down. So
By the
point
way,
is,
interesting year
there are
for the
no
Ravens
perfect teams in
schedule
the
too,
AFC.
right? The Ravens schedule's interesting in that all these teams you're mentioning, they're not seeing most of these teams, right? Like it's going to be a different kind of Titans coming up around the corner next week after we get the Steelers and whatnot, but we're not seeing Buffalo. I mean, measuring the Ravens, I'm saying, where will the Ravens will measure themselves against the Lions, I guess, later in the month, and I don't know if that's a real measurement. Them coming in here, you better hope you beat them, even though they're supposed to be good. But we're trying to figure out who these good teams are, right?
Yeah, and most years, that's what you're doing in September and October, right? I mean, there are teams that you think are going to be really good. I mean, Cincinnati's a great example of that. And look, maybe the Bengals will rebound. Maybe Joe Burrow gets healthy over the bye, and they'll make a second half of the season kind of run. And last year they started off slow. And that's one reason why I think a lot of us were not willing to bury them at, being 0-2 and everything there. But there are teams every year that we think are going to be good, and for whatever reason, injuries, coaching, whatever, personnel changes, whatever it is, they end up not being good. On the flip side, there are teams that you think are going to be awful, and they end up being better than you thought. Look at the Houston Texans. As much as thinking about the perception of CJ Stroud going up against the Ravens in week one, and he made some throws here and there. He certainly wasn't great, but look at how he's played. I mean, even a rookie quarterback. I mean, that Houston team, they're not great. I'm not sitting here trying to sing their praises to a dramatic degree, but better than you thought. I mentioned the Arizona Cardinals with Josh Dobbs. I mean, they've been more competitive. They haven't won all these games, but they've been more competitive than you would have thought. And they beat Dallas last week. So it's a week-to-week league, Nestor. We say it every year and we forget it this time of year, every year. I mean, it's just we go through this exercise every year. We overreact to the first couple of weeks, and then things start to settle one way or another after that. But if you're the Ravens, you're 3-1, two road division wins in your pocket already. The rest of the division looks very messy. You've been banged up. Yes, the injuries cannot continue at this rate. And we'll continue to talk about that because it's very important. But to this point, they've been able to endure. We do know that most of these injuries are not serious season-ending kind of injuries, which I think is important to note. Unlike 2 years ago when they had lost so many guys even before the season started, let alone early on. But they're in a position where I feel they're ascending still. Now, how high will they ascend? Who knows? And so much of that comes back to your quarterback's healthy. Again, no one else in the AFC North can say that right now about their quarterback. And the Ravens have nothing to feel sorry for, nothing to apologize on that front after the last 2 years, what they dealt with. So they're in a position where I do expect this team to get better. They need to get better. They should get better. I expect them to get better as the year goes on. If at some point in time these injuries at least slow down a little bit, let's say, and they can continue to make progress, continue to grow. The offense needs to become more consistent. There's no question about that. I thought Lamar Jackson played a good football game overall on Sunday, understanding he didn't have his starting tackles, didn't have two of his top three wide receivers, and they didn't have to do a whole lot. They were able to play a style where they could manage the game after they
Third and
scored
long
those two
still really tough for
touchdowns.
Lamar. It's tough for every quarterback. That's third and long's
I was
tough.
just going to say, let's be very clear about this. Third and long's tough for every quarterback. That's not a Lamar Jackson exclusive thing there. So, he played well though. wasn't his best game, wasn't a legendary game for Lamar, but he played well. He played winning football, good football on the road, made some beautiful touch passes. I mean, the touchdown to Mark Andrews in the back of the end zone. How many times have we seen him throw it to Mark Andrews and you say, "Oh, no, it looks like it's going to be picked off," and it's perfect. I mean, they just
That
have
looked like an interception.
it looked like it would, but it was a perfect throw. He right over the defender's just over his fingertips and right into Mark Andrews' hands. We've said that how many times over the last 4 or 5 years? So, they have room to grow. And Lamar even talked about that after the game. He was even asked, "Did you guys make a statement against what had been the number one defense?" And he said, "We still left points out on the field. We still made mistakes. We still have to protect the ball better." And he absolutely has to protect the ball better. More fumbles this week. That's something, we can talk about the offense continuing to grow and the injuries and some of that, but you have to protect the football. And aside from the botched exchange with Justice Hill, they were able to do that on Sunday. I mean, that was the only way Cleveland was going to have any chance in that football game. So I credit them for after that mistake in the second quarter that short-circuited what had been their best drive to that point. They protected the ball. They moved the ball twice, two impressive drives in the final 5 minutes of the first half, and that's really all they needed to do. They added the touchdown, after the turnover, in the fourth quarter. But I mean, this was the kind of performance that you'd want to see given the quarterback circumstance for the opposition. But they went out and did it. And Cincinnati, people expected them to win in Tennessee. They didn't. People expected Pittsburgh to beat the Houston Texans, I think. I mean, not that the Steelers were viewed as a juggernaut, but certainly weren't expecting them to get their butts kicked. So you can keep picking apart different things about the Ravens, and we'll do that because that's what we do, right? We're going to talk about this thing on a daily and weekly basis, and we're going to measure each Sunday on how they do. But you look at where they are compared to the rest of this division. Suddenly, all those injuries that we've been talking about a lot, they don't feel as dire. It doesn't feel as critical when you consider where the rest of this division is. And look, they go to Pittsburgh and stub their toe. Well, it'll be a different conversation next week, as we're traveling with the Orioles and seeing what happens to the division series. But this was a workmanlike performance that you want to see coming off the heels of a loss, bad loss against Indianapolis. And you're a 3-1 football team, a 3-1 football team with room to grow. And there are plenty of teams in the league right now, and every other team in this division right now would trade positions with the Ravens in a heartbeat.
We'll talk about the passing game plenty. No Odell Beckham, no Bateman, all the fun toys and that they had in August, not there. But the running game without Dobbins, because Dobbins is the one guy, he's not coming back. We talk about Stanley or Humphrey or any of these guys that OBJ that will be back. The notion that this running game is going to be committee, and I guess probably. To some degree, I feel like we're seeing Gus Edwards a little earlier, right? Second quarters, the roles have changed as far as what they want to do and how they want to do it. But this is going to be a committee backfield, and the less Lamar runs, the better. The better.
No question. And that, let's be clear again, that doesn't mean Lamar doesn't run. It doesn't mean it's not part of what they do, but because shame on you if he's not running at all. But yes, no question about it. And the guy that really stood out to me, Nestor, and go back and look at the snap count, he only played seven snaps. And I would assume that was by design as he was coming back from the toe injury. But Justice Hill gives them some juice running the football. I mean, he's shifty, changed direction. He's got some speed. He can break tackles. I think he runs tougher than his frame would indicate. And he's the guy that I'm really looking to as we get into the season. And he's got to stay healthy. And that's something that's been, that's something that's dogged him over the course of his career. Every time he's gotten to a point where you say, we saw this last year when Dobbins early on, wasn't giving them a whole lot, before he got the scope. Justice Hill was someone who gave them some juice in the running game early on, and then he got hurt, and we didn't really see it after that. So, Gus Edwards is the guy that they have the most trust in. He's the guy that was the healthiest, coming off of the last couple of weeks. But for me, the upside in that backfield, and we'll talk about Keaton Mitchell, the undrafted rookie, at some point in time, as he gets back on the practice field, because I've had a lot of fans ask me about him and the potential for him to be involved in this backfield in some to some degree. We'll see, once he gets back to practice. But Justice Hill, for me, at a 15-yard run, 3 yards or three carries for 33 yards, on only a handful of snaps. So they were trying to keep him on a pitch count, but he's the one I look to right now. If you're asking me, where is the upside coming from with this backfield? And that's not to disparage Gus Edwards. We know what Gus Edwards is at this point in time, but in terms of the guy that can fill that void that you thought you were going to have with Dobbins in terms of more upside, a guy that can be a little more of a home run hitter, it feels like Justice Hill could be that guy. Again, he's got to stay healthy, but in the big picture sense, the question you posed, the comment that you made, you want to have consistency in your running game. The yards per carry wasn't overly impressive on Sunday, but it was enough to chew clock and do what you needed to do against a team that had a good defense but had nothing going offensively whatsoever. And that's what you want. But I'll be interested to see how this thing continues to evolve with their backfield in the weeks to come. But I've been saying it since the spring and summer. You heard me talk about it back then, even. I think Justice Hill, if he can stay healthy, is a guy that can fill some of that void of what they were hoping they were going to get with Dobbins.
I've talked a lot about ball security since they brought Lamar in with the RPO with the sleight of hand and do I have it? No, you take it. Had a problem with Hill with that on Sunday. And part of that is this committee thing. You're not dealing with, there's no familiarity in all of this other than a couple practices during the week. And you weren't the number one back in August. So, Dobbins was going to be that guy and he didn't practice a whole lot early on. So the notion that part of it being safe, going back to Mark Ingram 5 years ago, where I thought you do that 15, 20 times a game, ball's going to wind up on the carpet once a game. They need to make sure that doesn't happen. In regard to Melvin Gordon and Gus Edwards and all of these different running backs coming in, and what Lamar's key and cue is in regard to I'm taking the ball, no, you're taking the ball. 5 years in, I still don't really know. It has something to do with reading tackles and reading where things are. But in that moment, the ball can't ever hit the ground, and it's hit the ground lately.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really. It's been Lamar in the pocket more so, having fumbles this year, and that can't happen. I mean, it just can't, especially with a veteran quarterback. I mean, Lamar, we remember his rookie year, fumbled a ton, and a lot of that was the mesh point stuff that you were talking about. I mean, what happened with that exchange? I mean, Lamar handed it was high. The ball was not. It was kind of the point.
The
The
ball was in
point
the
hit
air
his
for a
pec,
second.
right? Yeah, I mean, it was just odd, and I'm not as forgiving as you are with that. But your point is well taken that Justice Hill had missed a little bit of time. I mean, it's not like Justice Hill's a new player. They've been, those guys practiced a lot, and as I pointed out over the course of the spring and summer, he was their number one back in practice for much of the spring and summer because Dobbins held out until mid-August. So, it happens, but it can't keep happening. If that makes sense. I mean, I will hear a lot about this offense being a work in progress and with the injuries they have, but you can't put the ball on the ground. You just can't. There's never an excuse for that. So that's the one thing that you point to. And it happened once on Sunday and they lost it. And fortunately, they, didn't come out looking any worse for it as it pertained to the game. But that's certainly something that Lamar specifically does need to clean up. The how he's played overall, he was brilliant in Cincinnati, played very, very well on Sunday overall. I thought it was a really good performance for him, especially on the road, especially against the good defense and knowing the injuries that they've been dealing with on the offensive
And they're
side.
not
But
throwing the ball. Like for all the 9 months of are we gonna pay Lamar? How much are we gonna pay Lamar? Oh my God, they signed Beckham. Oh, they're gonna throw. Look at this. They're gonna throw they drafted a wide receiver in the 19 throws. You know what I mean? Like
well.
the notion that it was gonna be a 40, 45 throw offense ever, even when they're losing by a lot, and hopefully that won't be the case that they're losing by a lot and have to play that way. That this is all of the fireworks about offense and throwing for 6,000 yards. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Well,
that.
I also told you that all offseason that it was never going to be a 40 or 45 throw offense. So, and let's be clear, they didn't need to throw more than that on Sunday. That would have been irresponsible. That would have been reckless of Todd Monken and Lamar Jackson to throw that much in a game like that, where the Cleveland's only chance was to take the ball away. So, but you're right. And look, a lot of that has to do with you don't have your franchise left tackle out there. And maybe at maybe not today, but at some point in time, there's a conversation that needs to be had as far as where they're going at left tackle in the big picture. And I get it. Ronnie Stanley's under contract for two more years, and getting out of it next year would be tough. You'd probably have to do a post June 1st kind of deal, but you can't depend on him. And at this point, this isn't the ankle. This is a knee injury, the other knee, and it didn't look that bad. He was standing on the sideline at the end of the game, week one. I'm not saying he's not hurt, but at some point in time, you're paying this guy to be out there against Myles Garrett, and he's not. And that hurts their offense when he's not out there. You know, God bless Patrick McCary. He's one of the best reserve linemen in the NFL, but he's a reserve lineman. You know, he's not a franchise left tackle. So
not against Myles Garrett for 65 snaps.
Exactly. Very few, even a lot of franchise tackles struggle against that guy. So, I mean, that's where they are. But that's part of, you know, that's part of the conversation here in terms of the passing game and pass protection and, you know, Lamar taking off and taking care, you know, taking advantage of these wide receivers who, by the way, weren't on the field. Beckham and Bateman hurt. And unfortunately, that's been the story of, you know, in Beckham's case for many years and at different times. And in Bateman's case, that's been the story of his entire 3-year career. He can't stay on the field. It's a shame because the kid's talented. But yeah, with all of that considered, yeah, probably not conducive to Lamar going out there throwing 35 or 40 times a game, which, you know, I think is the high end of what you would see with this passing game. You know, 35 throws per game, let's say, which, you know, would be more in line with teams that you consider to be passing teams, let's say. So, you know, but they're winning football games. They're 3-1. They should be 4-0. And to your point, a little more than John Harbaugh with the, you know, the Zay Flowers fair catch. There were other plays they failed to make in that game. So we know that, but it's the NFL. It happens. And it was good to see them rebound in the fashion that they did on Sunday, knowing that they were still really banged up. You know, got a couple guys back. It's good to get Linderbaum back, but you know, they're still missing guys. And, you know, we'll see. Hopefully not a long-term injury to Morgan Moses, but, you know, that John Harbaugh said MRI pending, and you know, definitely don't want to be losing your right tackle when you're trying to get your left tackle back on the field, which looks like Stanley's close. He practiced on this week, so you know, we'll see if we see him in Pittsburgh, but definitely going up against the Steelers defense that could be in a position similar to what we saw with the Browns on Sunday, although Mitch Trubisky I'll give more credit to than Thompson Robinson, but that's a Steelers offense that's totally lost right now, so you want to have your offensive line intact and as healthy as possible going up against that Pittsburgh defense.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He is going to be in Owings Mills this week. And Camden Yards going to have some workouts. I always love these October workouts and, you know, the shadows over the stadium and sweatshirts out and take October and all that. I got my Curio Baltimore shirt on. Big appreciation to our friends at Curio Wellness and Farr and Daughter. Yes, they are a cannabis dispensary, and we're educating folks around here. Wendy Bronfine will be on this week. They're sponsoring our 25th anniversary, our 25 stories of glory. Time will not dim the glory of your deeds. We have new station sound. We have new bumpers. We have all sorts of new things. And the same old Maryland Crab Cake Tour, we're going to wind it up one time this month because we're expecting it to be a long baseball month with lots of moving parts and game times and game fives and sixes and sevens. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be at Drug City on the 13th. That's Friday the 13th. Anybody wears a Jason mask, I'll buy you an extra a soda or something for next Friday. We have some guests over. Maryland Lottery, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube MultiCare. They're everywhere. We'll be telling you about Jiffy Lube as well, sponsoring our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. The 13th, we're doing that. And then, just in general, Luke and I are looking forward to traveling next week, going to some games on the road, either in Dallas, Arlington, or in Tampa. And we have full coverage Steelers this week as well. Big, big week around here. Lots of things going on. The Orioles have they don't really have a lease. That was sort of a lie. We'll talk about that in the baseball thing. So I'm talking leasing. And by the way, I'm writing a letter to Rob Manfred this week in anticipation of game one of the ALDS on Saturday night, asking him what he's doing for our town and what he's doing in regard to ownership at the Major League Baseball offices. My columnist is up. Ravens barely break a sweat in dispatching the woeful Browns. All of Luke's work is also available at Baltimore Luke, out on the interwebs, as well as everywhere I travel on social media, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, all of those places. You can find us at WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop talking Baltimore positive.